Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Raylinda Roback, and recently we did a show called Cutting Edge Teaching and Learning. And you know, sometimes we bring to you these technical shows with, you know, certain theories and everything, but we don't delve into the story behind the scene. You know, Satan is always seeking whom he can devour. And we have so many personal challenges that it's a wonder we ever get anything accomplished on our professional lives. So in the recent show, we talked about all the professional things going on in Raylinda's life. But today our show is going to be what was happening behind the scenes. You know, a mother with three boys and a husband and a big dog. He's a big dog. Is very active. They need to still have summer, even though mom's going to class all day long. They still need to have some summer. So, Ray, we're going to set the stage. First of all, what are some of the things that you did during this summer that you squeezed in between all your classwork?
Oh well, I made sure, because I have three very active boys, that they were outside all the time. I could take them to the lake every day. I tried to take them to the lake every day just so that they could swim and get some energy out. And then I had time with them so that they would remember me while I was in class at night, because it was such a long, long class time. But then, of course, my cousin challenged me to the ice bucket challenge. And I think that was a big thing going on this summer. And of course, I did it, and didn't realize that the chunks of ice were the size of red plastic Solo cups that they were frozen in, and had him dump the bucket on me from the height of a truck. He was standing on the truck, and he's a big dude, so it was pretty high. And when he did it, I immediately felt pain. I had a birthday party that I had to take my kids to, and so I got them in the vehicle, and we went, and I was in so much pain at the party. I didn't know what was going on. I figured probably a muscle spasm or something. Something happened.
So then that weekend or the weekend after, you had this event where you were going. One of your dear friends had passed away.
My best friend had passed away. I had to fly out to her funeral, and but my
friend, you were going to go plant something for her memorial.
Yes, I was going to plant a tree for her memorial at our high school that we had gone to. And my best friend had actually flown, and my other best friend had flown in from Washington State. So I drove 3 hours up to see her, and she also happens to be a chiropractor. So I was telling her about my pain. And so she made adjustments on me, but I still never felt quite right after that. I felt almost like I was re-injured.
Yes.
And I had gone to my doctor, and they said it was probably just muscular. They did one x-ray, and nothing showed. And so they gave me lots and lots of medicine to take, and nothing worked. And I was ending up taking around 800 milligrams of ibuprofen every 3 hours just to make it through the school day and make it through my classes.
Yeah, so you started your student teaching.
I started my student teaching in so much
burden of pain. Wow.
And the philosophy of this school is that it's a one-year program. If you miss, you have to repeat. So it would mean I'd have to go back the following year and do the whole student teaching over with.
Yes.
So I was determined, for my husband's sake, for my kids' sake, that I would not repeat, because it was enough time away from them already.
So you had slugged through Well, at least 4 weeks or 8 weeks.
It was about 8 weeks.
Describe that day.
With the pain. That day, you know, every morning I pray and I have my devotions, and then I turn on the radio show to listen to my Christian station on the way to school. And God stuck me with one of my friends who's in the same program, but he happens to be a Christian. And I praise God for that as well, because he prayed with me that morning before we went into school. And I remember thinking, man, I just want to be cozy. Mm-hmm. I just want to be cozy. I haven't been cozy and comfortable. I've been in pain so long. But it was a Friday. And so I was like, okay, it's a Friday. I can rest. Come Sabbath, it's my day of rest. I'll just rest. And I went into the classroom and prepared, took my ibuprofen, 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, because I was starting to feel pain again, and taught. And that day, I actually had two observations, which are stressful, but I got through them. And the final observation, I was teaching it, finished, and then I went over to help a little guy who struggles with writing, and I lost my whole left arm. It just completely went numb and heavy, heavy. And I was like, this is a very weird feeling. It's not pain. It's just weird. I lost my whole arm. And so thinking I have pain and I'm taking medicine, so maybe I should just go drink some water. So I walked over to my desk and I drank some water, and I still couldn't feel my arm. And I went back over to the little guy and I said, maybe, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is what I'm thinking in my head. Maybe I should pull over a stool to sit on just in case I lose my leg or something. I didn't know. So I sat down and, you know, I really do believe it was God that said, you got to get to a nurse, because there was no change in the classroom except for my arm. I just looked up and I said, to my mentor who was observing me, I said, I think I need to go see the nurse. And I'm in front of all these kids. I can't make them worry about me. And she said, oh, okay. And like raised her eyes at me and eyebrows. And I said, you know, I'll be back hopefully, and left and walked to the nurse's station. I saw a little kid and smiled at the little kid as I went by, because I didn't want to scare the little kid either. And I got to the nurse's station and I said, I don't know what's going on. I can't feel my arm. And right at that moment, I lost feeling in both my legs. My legs went completely numb. I laid over and they said that I was mumbling. They couldn't tell what I was saying. And I had the worst extreme headache I have ever felt in my whole life, in the back of my head. And they went ahead and called 911. I remember the nurse taking my vital signs, and she said her vitals are okay. I remember hearing that and thinking, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah.
My vitals are okay. I'm okay. This is whatever this is going to pass. And when the ambulance pulled up, I was like, okay, I heard them. That's good. And then they came in and sat me up. And when I sat up, I started feeling my legs again, and my arm felt really weak, but I could move my hand. And they said, well, do you want us to take you to the hospital? And I said, not really. I don't really want to go, because
who wants to go
to the emergency room taken out by a stretcher? But I decided that it probably would be best if I went, because I didn't feel like I could drive myself. And I didn't think I could teach the rest of the day. So they took me and they told me that it was probably just a panic attack. And then when I got to the emergency room, they said, it sounds like it's just a muscular problem, but let's just do an MRI just in case. And so my husband went and told my mom and my aunt and everybody else that it was fine. I was doing great. And then the MRI results came back and the doctor walked in and said, we're admitting you've had a stroke. That was it for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry now.
It makes me tear up.
That was a scary day. It was scary to hear those words.
It was.
But almost unbelievable. I'm 33. I'm active. I'm healthy. How could I have a stroke?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, then the second thought was, oh no, I'm going to be kicked out of this program.
Yes. Oh.
And does God really want me to teach? So I laid there and boo-hooed in one hand and called my husband and probably gave him a little heart attack when he heard, and called my mom and called my aunt. And then the next thing I know, my two professors, the head of the program for this master's teaching program that I'm in, and another professor who's another head of the undergrad, walked into the emergency room. I hadn't even seen my mom. I hadn't seen anybody. They walked in and they told me that I had already passed, that I didn't need to worry about anything. I just needed to heal, and that I had already passed the program that was still 2 weeks. I still had 2 weeks of teaching that I needed to do, along with a lot of other homework assignments that need to be turned in. And that was my answer from God, saying that I was in the right place, even with Satan attacking my body.
Yeah. So then began, you know, once these catastrophic things happen, then begins the recovery process.
Yes.
You ended up in John Hopkins.
Yeah, I ended up at John Hopkins, and I really, throughout it, felt pretty good. They treated me good, and they kept my pain levels down. I was in a lot of pain. I've come to find out the pain was caused from the clot forming inside of my vein, the wall of my artery.
We have to take a break right here, which I know I'm leaving my audience on pins and needles, as I am myself. But when we come back, then we're going to talk about, now it's the climb back. It really is the climb back. We'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's show, you'd like a copy for yourself or to share with a friend, then please go to our website, lifetalk.net, and click the podcast page. All of LifeTalk's live interactive talk shows are posted on our site and are free for you at any time.
There are so many teens out there that battle with their own personal problems. They feel as if they can't tell anyone and keep it inside until they finally explode with emotion. One way to help that not happen is finding a friend you know you can trust. If there is at least one person you know that will listen to you, give you advice, and keep it a secret, it'll definitely help you through life. I feel as if some of my friends think that they have to bear the weight of the world on their shoulders. It really annoys me because the more they keep it in, the worse they begin to feel, and it hurts me to see them in pain. If you're having problems, tell someone. It'll make you feel better and save a lot of future problems.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. Welcome back. I'm talking with Raylinda Roback, and she just acknowledges that it was providential. She'd gotten in this wonderful one-year program where she can realize her calling. God has called her to teaching, and in the middle of the first semester of student teaching, she's had a stroke. And when I left you all, we were in John Hopkins. So let's go back to John Hopkins. And that's where they diagnosed it as a specific type of stroke. It's vertebral artery dissection.
Yeah.
Vertebral artery dissection. A VAD.
VAD is what they call it. And wow.
Yeah, so it's where the artery has been damaged. It can be damaged with whiplash, chiropractic adjustments, ice bucket challenges.
Yeah. I had all of these things that I gave them, and they were like, oh, wow. Well, any one of those things could have done it.
Yeah, because I think that when we were talking before the show, the only active thing you had done prior to the stroke was you'd been involved in a parade.
Yeah. Yes.
And that didn't seem like...
No. And the parade, sadly to say, I had been holding a sign in my right hand and moving it up and down for like 4 hours. My arm was sore and my back area was a little sore for the 4 hours of lifting a sign up and down. But there was nothing else that, and I was even riding on a float. So that was the only other thing I had taken or had been involved in.
Yeah. So the doctors described it then as a blood clot that had broken loose from that.
They said that the wall of the artery had kind of split open, and there was a blood clot actually forming inside the wall of my artery that was causing the pain, this extreme pain that I had been in for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then that blood clot got so big that it blocked the blood going through the artery. So I had very little blood that could flow through. When they took the, when they did the MRI or MRA with the, whatever they put in your veins.
Yeah, some
to
kind
show
of dye.
Some kind of dye. Ugh, that was horrible. When they did that, they could see that there was just a very small area where the blood could flow through because of the blood clot.
So you're very fortunate.
I am. The lady actually said to me, did you drive yourself here? The lady who did the MRA. And I said, no. She's like, wow, you're one lucky girl. And I didn't know what she meant by that until I got my diagnosis. And I was like, I am extremely lucky because if that blood clot had completely come loose and gone into my brain, I could have had a major stroke or death.
Yes. Yes. So now we're on the road back to recovery.
Yes.
And what were the instructions that you left with from John Hopkins?
I left with instructions of not to lift anything and not to put my head lower than my heart and not to get my blood pressure up too high. And I couldn't drive. I had to have assistance going up and down stairs. There were so many instructions. I had to give myself shots, injections in the stomach, along with taking Coumadin to get my blood as thin as it could possibly go. I felt like it was so thin, and lots of pain medication. But the one thing I really liked about John Hopkins is that they really are against narcotics. And when I was at the other hospital, that's all I was given for pain. And so when I got to John Hopkins, they got me off that immediately and put me on a little cocktail of medicine without a narcotic that really helped my pain. So I got home and, you know, when you get home and you've been told all this stuff and you've been given all this paperwork, it still doesn't seem like it's possible that you're going through it. And then you're like, oh, did I remember everything? Am I going to take the medicine at the right time? Am I going to give my shot at the right time? You know, if I go upstairs, what do I do? And what if my three-year-old needs me to pick him up?
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That was probably one of the most difficult things there for a while was you can't pick him up. I still am not supposed to pick him up. Yeah, you are so new off from this fiery trial that even as we talk, I can see your brain working extra hard to find the words.
It really is.
But and I appreciate you.
I was able actually to get off one of the medications that really, really...
And they told you how many weeks of physical therapy?
42 weeks.
42
I
weeks.
I went to my first physical therapy appointment and she said 42 weeks of physical therapy. And, you know, that was kind of devastating because you think that you're recovering a lot better until they put you through all these different tests and you fail every single one of them. And so I told my aunt, who's really good with medication, she looks up everything and she's been through her own fiery trial. Mm-hmm. I told her what I was taking and she sent me a bunch of links about it and realized that this medication was making me crazy. It was making me dizzy. Mm-hmm. And it was making me not be able to think. And I left the stove on so many times. Mm-hmm. I had no short-term memory. So I called my doctor and he let me get off of it. I went off of it. And a week later, the clouds were lifted and I graduated. I graduated.
So you went in a week later. What was your physical therapist's reaction?
My physical therapist was shocked. Mm-hmm. She first put me on a balance machine that is really cool. It measures your eye movement along mm-hmm. with your balance, along with your inner ear. It takes all these mm-hmm. different pictures. And I scored higher than the average 33-year-old who hasn't had a stroke.
You know, and I just contribute so much of this to God.
Truly.
You know, it's truly a God yes. thing. Medicine, I acknowledge God has given us medicine, but he also has given us the ability to think through things so that we do as much natural for yes. ourselves as possible.
Yeah, she was amazed. I had two more physical therapy appointments after that, and she said, "You're good. If you can walk at home, just do some exercise to build your endurance, we can let you go." And that was a wonderful day. And then from there, I went to my doctor and I was able to drive again. So I'm really on the road to recovery and I'm getting there.
This is a little bit of break during this holiday time. But are you expecting to go back now to your next teaching assignment?
Yeah, I start back January 5th with the classes, and then I start back in the classroom January 26th. I think that's the correct date. And it's even before my next MRI with John Hopkins. So I do have a little, worry, a little tug on my heart that something might happen, because after all of that I've been through, mm-hmm. I think a little anxiety is okay.
Yes.
But I know fully well that this is a battle between good and evil on this earth, and I'm doing what I believe God wants me to do, and Satan is going to try in every way possible to stop me. He's tried other ways, and he tried to attack my body, and mm-hmm. he just couldn't make it.
Yes.
He couldn't do it. God yes. said no.
But for God's grace, no one would be alive.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think as we come to the conclusion of the show, we have to reach out to the listener who, maybe has suffered a stroke, and for them to fully rely on God. I know you always loved frogs.
Yes.
And when I learned that was a good mnemonic for fully relying on God, I love frogs too.
That's what I told my kids too, because they ended up with all of my frog stuffed animals. So in the car, anytime we talk about what mommy went through, I always tell them, remember frog,
yes,
that we fully rely on God in every situation, yes, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't wish this type of injury on anybody,
no,
or this type of experience. And when we're in that fiery trial, it's pretty difficult to be joyful and to rejoice, but I know I would like to leave our listeners with that thought to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
So one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.